Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time, streaming live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We're rebroadcast on Sundays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time on A2Zen.fm, and we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. So we encourage you to check out the programs that we've done. Check out this program when it's over. It'll be available up on the website shortly thereafter, on infinitum, into infinity, until the earth comes to a screeching halt. And with that being said, I want to let you know that this is a beautiful Saturday afternoon as we're fast approaching the end of October of 2012. I have all of my guests lined up for every Saturday between now and the end of 2012. And that is correct. I even went beyond the 21st of December because we're going to be here. You're going to be here. Well, I hope you're going to be here. Will you please stay with us? Because we have some exciting programs coming up in the coming weeks and months ahead, including 2013. We've got some exciting stuff coming up as well. And just as a reminder for you, we're going to have one of my favorite guests, the Saturday before December 21st. I would give you the date, but I don't have a calendar in front of me. Needless to say, we're going to have Greg Braden on that Saturday afternoon, and we're going to be talking about the transition that we've all been talking about for, it seems like, years. Like the election. It seems like years. And we're going to have him on to talk more about that. Then the Saturday after the 21st, we have Diana Cooper talking about her latest work, her latest book, and the new golden age that's coming in 2032. I tongue-in-cheek said to her, just what we need, another date to look forward to. But hey, you know, as human beings, we're all looking to the future for a better life. And we're trying to make that happen now by bringing you a new paradigms for a new world. Well, you know, I thought long and hard about how to start our program with my guest. And I used to, when I would talk with folks and they'd come to me and say, Richard, there's something that I need your help with something. And they'd tell me blah, 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 blah. And I'd say, well, you know, let me think about it for just a minute. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll make a deal with you because I like your face. Well, today we're going to talk about your face. We're going to talk about your face with Jane Hayner, and she happens to be the author of a very unique, actually, set of books, if you will. There is wisdom in, basically, a wisdom in your face. Your face tells an enormous amount about who you are and what you're all about. There's also the wisdom in your children's face or your child's face. And we're going to talk with her. And Jane, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program.
Thank you, Richard. I'm happy to be here.
And because I like your face, we're going to keep going here.
Thank God.
Now, I am aware that there are people who read all kinds of different body parts. the most notable would be the palm reader, reads the lines on the palm of the hand. I'm still looking for the person who reads the back of the hand, but that's I know this road like the back of my hand, and they end up getting lost. So there you go. But the face has so many different details. It just seems to me. Is it a science? Is it an art? Is it guesswork?
Tell us
a little bit about what this, is it just called face reading?
Well, really good question, because most people have never heard of this. And what I do is Chinese face reading. Chinese face reading is actually an ancient branch of Chinese medicine, which is 3,000 years old. And it actually is a science. It's not a Western science. It's an Asian science. But it's based on, you know, basically 3,000 years of research and development. So what the Chinese did was actually develop a very sophisticated understanding of patterns. And there's patterns in the features of your face, the size and shape of your features, the wrinkles that develop. Every detail on your face has a message and meaning for you about who you really are inside and what you need to be happy in life.
Okay. And you have been reading, first of all, what got you interested I mean, you know, there are some faces out there I'd rather not look at.
There are some faces. All that.
Well, and there are some faces we've seen too much of, and we'd like not to see them anymore. But why is this so intriguing to you?
Yeah, well, you know, for anyone who visits my website, they'll see that I'm not Chinese, and so that's a very good question. I actually married into a Chinese family 30 years ago, and this was a traditional Chinese family from China. My mother-in-law barely spoke English, and soon after my husband and I got married, she started to try to teach me certain things, one of which was Chinese face reading. And she only knew the superstitions. And I frankly thought it was the most disgusting thing I'd ever heard of. How awful to judge someone based on their appearance. That's a terrible thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, what I later came to learn was that it's actually the opposite of judgment, that what face reading does is it lets you see who someone really is and open your heart to them, to understand and accept them for who they really are, from big and little ways, even just, you know, when you first meet someone, how close to stand, what kind of language to use in a way that will make them feel comfortable, to be able to understand their behavior. Your face is really a reflection of who you are inside, and it reveals how you tend to think and feel, and really, in a way, you know, what your true calling is in life, what you're here to do and learn.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the face and the facial features, the characteristics thereof, and what they mean. And I guess I want to start with how much of the head are you looking at? How far around? How far back around? And does hair play a role in the reading as well? So let's talk about the parameters first.
Sure. Well, here's the thing is that you can read everything on someone's face, including their ears. The ears actually are considered to give important information, even though they're on the sides of the head, they're not on the face. And even the choices of hairstyles, you can read information from. So every detail gives you some information about that person. I often compare reading a face to like putting a jigsaw puzzle together. You know, you can't see the whole picture if you just look at one or two pieces. You have to put all the pieces together in order to see the total picture.
All right, so let's talk about the characteristics. Obviously, for the most part, we all have the same. Two eyes, a nose, a mouth,
yeah.
Two ears. Forehead, I don't know what the space is between the nose and the upper lip. I know there's a name for it. I'm sure there is in Latin somewhere. The chin,
yeah.
The cheekbones, and so on and so forth. What is it that, and I guess maybe for you, because, you know, there is a certain level of subjectivity when you first look at someone's face. What is it that you are drawn to first?
Well, and you make a very good point, because for anyone who doesn't read faces, they are very subjective. When they look at someone, there's actually an energetic exchange that happens between two people when they first meet, whether that's 30 seconds in an elevator or whether that's the start of a 30-year relationship. And what face reading does is it helps you understand why you have an aversion to some kinds of people or an attraction to other kinds of people, that you can read the information on their face and understand why they might be a good match. So this can be used in online dating, for instance, or, you know, business partnership, things like that, if they think like you do, or if they would offer a piece of the picture that you don't have to fill something that's missing, that a quality or a talent that you don't have. It's not about finding people who are exactly like you, but it's really about understanding who someone is and how to get along with them, how to accept them, understand them, have a happy time with them, no matter how short or long that is. So when I first look at a face, number one, I there's no face I don't want to look at. Face reading gets us out of that judgmental, subjective reaction. And instead, it lets us relax, be ourselves, and understand someone. Often, you know, you don't have to read all the features on the face to be able to glean some important information about someone. So, for instance, often when I'm teaching people to read faces, my suggestion is just look at what either is the very largest feature on their face or the very smallest feature on their face. A very large feature means a certain strength in whatever that feature represents, and every feature has a different meaning. A very small feature represents a weakness. So, as an example, if I first see someone and the thing that really strikes me most are their gigantic, thick, really strong eyebrows,
mm-hmm.
Well, Eyebrows have many messages, but some of the messages that they give us, strong eyebrows, is someone who's very confident, who's assertive, who has a lot of drive, who can work very hard, and who values logic, who values setting goals and achieving them, is not someone who gets moody in terms of just getting lost in their emotions and they're unable to work, that in fact they love to work and they love to get things done, they love to be active. Well, with that kind of person, then, if I'm in a conversation with them, I need to get to the point, I need to be direct, I need to speak in straight lines and not wander around. So there's a lot that you can tell even from one feature.
Yeah, okay. Now, you have a couple of different images of my face.
Yes.
And one of them, of course, is with a beard.
Mm-hmm.
That I've just recently grown in the last few months.
Very handsome.
Well, thank you. But you made an interesting comment off air before we started, and that it didn't help you because obviously it was covering up my cheeks and my chin and my upper lip.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering if that, what kind of a challenge does that give you when you meet a man or woman, I suppose, who who has facial hair? That either is a full face, you know, from the sideburns down and so forth, or who's trimmed it up. But still, there are certain areas. Even a goatee has got to be covering up something.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because usually, unless the beard is like a lumberjack kind of beard, you can still see the general features, the general shape of the jawline, things like that.
Okay.
And with your beard, it's very nicely trimmed, so you can see that. When I was referring to not being able to see much in this new picture, I was more referring to the fact you're wearing sunglasses and a hat. So
oh.
I can't see hairline, I can't see eyes.
Well, I'm in the witness protection program, trying to stay
incognito. Well,
so
there's different reasons why men might prefer to grow beards or even at different stages of their lives. If a man has a relatively soft jawline, you know, what that can mean is it can actually make him a little bit uncomfortable because in our culture, the macho man has a really sharp, strong, well-defined jaw.
Yeah.
And that actually fits with our so-called cultural values, that a real man is one who's competitive and driven and is up for a fight. That's what a really strong, sharp jaw means.
Mm.
Someone who has a softer jaw is actually more easygoing, less judgmental, more adaptable. But a man can feel, not knowing that, can feel bad about himself, and so he may grow a beard to try to create the illusion of a stronger jawline.
Now, I'm curious about something, because I know that energy follows even photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you're going to feel the energy of the person when you're in their presence and you are reading their face.
Yep.
How much of that, is there any way for you to divorce yourself from those energies and just read the characteristics? And that almost sounds kind of superficial, but still, it's like, okay, I don't want you to be influenced by, I just want you to tell me, you know, just in other words, just read the characters. Don't read the subtext and so
right.
forth. Is that even possible?
Well, it's not only possible, that's exactly what face reading allows you to do.
But that's until something you've got to really learn.
Well, not actually, it's the opposite.
Okay.
What I find is that in workshops, people are leaping to their feet, saying this should be taught in the schools, because it takes you out of the story that you're creating about that person, the reaction you're creating based on your personality. You know, one of the most valuable things about face reading is not reading other people's faces, it's reading your own face and coming to a whole new understanding about why you are the way you are.
Yeah.
So normally, if I didn't know face reading and I was talking to you, I would probably be making some judgments about you. But what face reading allows me to do is see, oh, that's why he's that way.
That explains a lot, that lump on his head. Okay, he was dropped as a child. So now I happen to have these little points at the top of my eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are some people who have those. I've actually considered the shaving those down so that they're more rounded like other people's. I haven't done it. What about those kinds of things? And actually I want to take that back to a different perspective. Have you ever read someone's face where, okay, this is what your face says, but that person's personality, life, and lifestyle don't quite match up yet?
Well, here's how it works. You are born with the features that you have for a reason. There's a coherence. There's a symmetry to who you are. Your face is a reflection of your inner design. And there's a reason why you have peaked eyebrows that is perfect and right for you. And the concept is that your face is your blueprint, right? It's a reflection of your inner blueprint. Well, if you're building a house, you build it according to the blueprint. You know, you put the electrical system where it's supposed to be. You would never dream of putting the plumbing where the electrical system is supposed to be, putting the bathroom in the kitchen.
Well, I don't know.
So the concept is that if you make changes to your face arbitrarily, it's the same thing as messing with the blueprint to your house. The house wouldn't function very well if you did that. Time and time again, I've worked with people who've made these arbitrary changes to their faces, and what happens is it throws their life off balance.
So you're basically saying that in an objective fashion, you're saying that plastic surgery for plastic surgery's sake is messing with the blueprint.
Right.
And that's a whole different thing from reconstructive surgery. We're not even talking about that.
But we're not talking about that. Certainly, if someone has had an accident,
sure,
if they've been injured, that's a whole different story.
But I don't like my nose.
Right.
I want my eyebrows shaved round, et cetera. It's an infinitum. I want my ears pinned. Matter of fact, I remember as a child, I was going through one of the many eye surgeries that I went through, and I was sharing a room with a young boy about my age at the time, and he was actually in there to actually have his ears pinned back. Which I had never heard of before, but obviously there was a reason that it was being done. I didn't really notice, but I'm curious. Now, so the bottom line is when you do those kinds of arbitrary things, you are messing with the blueprint, and as you say, it kind of throws your life into sort of a. And so when we look at if we look at Hollywood, then it explains a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Enough said on that. All right, so let's talk about some of the other aspects. Now, I shared with you why I still shave my head.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, aside from that, I just like it. You know, I like the feel, the look, and it's funny. When I started growing the beard, I also started letting everything grow, and then I started seeing how it looked, and I said, no, this has to go. The top has to go. It just is not looking. It wasn't looking good, and I liked that the smooth, clean shaven look. How is it that I'm not messing with the blueprint in that context?
Well, so here's the thing: is that it actually fits with your blueprint.
Oh.
So very briefly, what your eyebrows mean actually factors into this.
Oh, please tell me.
The peaks on your eyebrows talk about someone with a big heart, a fantastic sense of humor, someone for whom life has got to be fun, who loves to tell jokes and have good times with people, who likes to keep things lighthearted. And a shaved head, a bald head, is the same.
Oh,
and
go
so
on, go on.
It's almost like it was predestined. Did you start perhaps balding early in life balding from
actually,
the top down?
Actually, I started noticing it receding probably around 36, 37
yep.
years of age.
Yeah.
Now, the
yeah.
irony is that I was growing it to down my back on the
yeah.
other side.
Well, the pattern usually is that someone like you with this huge heart and this wonderful sense of humor, men like this tend to bald from the front backwards earlier in life than men would normally do that, if they do it at all.
Okay.
And so the fact that you chose just to shave most of the head or all of the head entirely actually fits with who you are. It's not against your nature. It didn't throw your system off balance.
And I have a dear friend who lives in Utah, and he and I worked together back in Phoenix, and he is also bald. He shaves his head. And when we first met, of course, he kept encouraging me to do it because he felt that I had the right shaped head to do this, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I've actually seen some guys who shave their heads and thinking, no, I think you should let it grow back.
Not a good choice.
Some people don't have quite the right shape to pull it off. But hey, you know, if you like it, if it works for you, then my judgments are totally irrelevant.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. And this is, you know, you make a very important point. Even in terms of plastic surgery, we have no business judging anyone for the choices they make about their face.
Isn't it about comfort? In other words, if I said, you know, I my nose is too big. I really feel uncomfortable. I feel self-conscious because my ears are sticking out now that I don't have any hair on the top of my head. I need to do something about that. Isn't it that choice a lot of times is based on uncomfortableness?
Right, but we need to explore where that really comes from.
Uh-huh.
Where it really comes from is heavy self-judgment.
Okay.
And what I find is that when people, one of the wonderful, empowering things about face reading is when you understand what that nose means that you have, you would never think of changing it. There are these wonderful, affirming messages on your face about who you are, and it can take you out of judgment.
Okay.
Because we're taught from an early age to think there's something wrong with us. And so, of course, that translates into what we look like as well.
And the wisdom of your face helps us to understand those things.
Yeah, exactly.
And the website is wisdomofyourface.com. Mm-hmm. And you can go there and not only check out all kinds of great information, but also order the book if you'd like. There's also The Wisdom of Your Children or Child's Face, The Wisdom of Your Child's Face. And Gene Hayner is my guest. We're going to continue talking more about this when we come back. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And we'll be right back.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and Fast Forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
Professional glass blower and craftsman Saul Alcaraz of Santa Barbara Art Glass can teach you to make that special gift for that special someone.
I guarantee that if you come in here, you will make paperweights, tumblers, or a mug, a bowl. You will get it done on your first lesson, even if you've never done it. Guarantee.
If I wanted to learn how to blow glass, what do I need to come to Saul with?
You gotta be extremely hyper, especially if you're gonna be doing it professional. You only have like 5 seconds to work with. If you wanna create art and sculpting and all that kind of stuff, then it's not a problem. You can take your time. Glass will not break.
Can people come by the shop unexpected?
I like it when they come in unexpected, and they'll probably bring some good energy in. Our studio, it's at 706 East Mason Street, 2 blocks from Miltas in Santa Barbara.
How do people get a hold of you?
Check out my website, sbrglass.com, or call us at 805-965-1541.
Understanding what it's about is what this program is about. Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we're going to take a quick little break here. We're going to tell you about a conference that's coming up next week that Jane is going to be at. Jane Hayner is going to be there. Bruce Lipton's going to be there. Greg Braden's going to be there. Just a myriad of, as a matter of fact, there's a gentleman that's going to be there who has written an incredible book. I was just blown away by this particular work. And Alex Woodard is his name. He just came up, flashed up on the screen. Louise Hay is going to be there, and just so many different people. Anyway, this gentleman wrote a book called For the Sender, and it's a book about four letters, and it has to do with the loss of his dog. And my wife and I have both listened to the book and read the book, and have had the tears and the emotions and the whole thing. It's just incredible. But he is going to be, along with Jane and all these other folks, at the I Can Do It conference. It is basically, Hay House is putting this event on, and it's going to be at the Pasadena Convention Center, October 26th through the 28th. ICanDoIt.net is the website where you can register. Dr. Wayne Dyer is going to be there as well, and Michael Eisen. I mean, the list just goes on, and you're going to have a great time. If I didn't have something else of equal or greater importance to go to here, I would be going down there as well. Jane's going to be there, and she'll be talking about her book and reading faces, I'm sure, and talking about a lot of what we're talking about here on the program. So I encourage you to check out the I Can Do It website, ICanDoIt.net, the conference next weekend, 26, 27, 28, down in Pasadena at the Pasadena Convention Center. Encourage you to if you can, go down there for 1 day, 2 days, all 3 days, what have you. Tell them I said hi if you go.
The Chari Center of Health with Deepak and Rupa Chari bring you this health tip.
Today's Chari Center of Health quick tip is for heart health. What is cholesterol? It's important to first understand what cholesterol is, where it comes from, and why it's important to you. Cholesterol is found in human and animal cells and is important for the production of hormones, immune system, brain health, and digestion. Every cell requires a constant supply of cholesterol. Where does cholesterol come from? About one-third of the body's cholesterol is obtained through the diet. Cholesterol is found in food, such as animal products. If your cholesterol levels are too high, it could mean that a lot of fats from the foods you're eating are going into your bloodstream, which can end up in your arteries. In addition, the majority of cholesterol is made in your liver, and smaller amounts by your small intestine and individual cells throughout your body. This is why many people still have high cholesterol levels despite eating a healthy diet. Our body produces approximately 1,500 to 1,800 milligrams of natural cholesterol per day. Now let us discuss what the total cholesterol numbers mean.
Cholesterol is usually measured through a fasting blood test. Fasting means having the blood sample taken before you've had anything to eat or drink for 8 to 12 hours. This allows the doctors to see how much cholesterol and glucose are in your bloodstream before you eat or drink anything. Now your total blood cholesterol should be less than 200 milligrams per deciliter. Normally, anyone with a total blood cholesterol of more than 240 milligrams per deciliter is considered high risk for heart disease. So what are three positive ways you can lessen your chance of having a heart attack? Eat a healthy diet that includes 4 to 5 servings of both raw and steamed vegetables, fruits, and whole grains. Exercise, walking 30 minutes a day, 4 to 5 days a week, and quit smoking. Next time, we'll discuss other types of cholesterol and natural ways to have healthy cholesterol levels.
Take your health to the next level. Go to charicenter.com. That's charicenter.com. Or call 805-963-1111. That's 805-963-1111.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Jane Hayner is my guest, and she is talking with us about faces and reading faces, the various characters. This is kind of what we were talking about before we took our break. And we talked a little bit about the eyebrows, and you know, you referred to my my characteristics and so forth. Now, before we go any further, because I am very curious to hear more of a description of the characteristics, the various characteristics of the various facial features. But the cover of your book, The Wisdom of Your Face, mm-hmm. The first thing that I notice is the eyebrows, the eyes and the eyebrows, and that this woman, I'm assuming it's a woman, looks like a woman to me, has Asian / Oriental / Chinese features, the eyebrows specifically. And I'm wondering if because of the fact that the subtitle of the book is Change Your Life with Chinese Face Reading, it would stand to reason that you would use someone, or maybe the publishing company used someone, who brought that across. It's not blatantly, say, Asian or Chinese, but it has enough of that flavor in it.
Yeah, and you make a good point, because often if I tell someone I do Chinese face reading, they think, well, does that only apply to Chinese people? Can you only read Chinese faces?
I'm sorry, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. You have to be Chinese. But, you know, like you said earlier, we all have the same features.
Yeah.
These are universal principles that apply to any race, any ethnic background, and are all still have the same meanings and are all true.
What about the surface of the skin? I mean, obviously, we all grow up having all kinds of different skin conditions and so forth. And I mean, I grew up with, I was in the dermatologist chair for a number of times, and I grew up with those, you know, the pock, I guess they call them pock marks or dents in the cheeks in particular. Does any of that play into the reading?
Sure. So any scarring or marking that's happened to our faces, it has a meaning. It's not as significant as the size and shape of features or the wrinkles. But, you know, what a scar, for instance, a pockmark we would probably would consider a scar, any sign on the face can have three possible meanings in general. It can have to do with a certain time of your life, because the face is also a map of your whole life journey.
Oh, yeah.
Every feature of your face represents a decade of your life. Every year of your life is represented by an area of your face. And every significant experience that we have, it said it will mark our face at the year that it happened. So sometimes a sign on the face will have to do with a really significant challenge or lesson or experience, birth of a child, marriage, things like that. That's one possibility. Second possibility is something to do with your emotional nature, something you went through, something that challenged you. And the third thing is that it can have to do with physical health. Face reading originally was a diagnostic tool in Chinese medicine. So you can literally diagnose the status of someone's health merely by reading their face.
The thing I love about Chinese medicine, whether it's face reading or herbology or whatever the modality is that's being used, is that the FDA has had no say whatsoever in whether or not it works. It works, period. It just had a guest on maybe a year or so ago, regular guest, and we received a phone call from a gentleman who asked him that very question about his particular modality, what he was a specialist in. And he said, you know, I've never been asked that question before, but the only way that I can answer that question is to say, it just works.
Oh, great.
That's all. I mean, what are you supposed to say? You know, we have scientific double-blind studies from UCLA and Harvard and blah, blah, blah. It just works. And in this case, it just works.
I always tell people, you don't have to take what I say. You don't have to believe it. Try it for yourself. Use it in your own life. If it's not true for you, then don't use it. I've never had anybody come back to me and say, gosh, what you taught me isn't true. It's just the opposite. Their top of their head blows off and goes, they go, you know, that's why my husband is the way he is.
But see, isn't that also, even that statement, but maybe taking some of the energetic charge out of it, it helps us not only understand other people, but that's the reason why I am the way that I am.
Exactly.
That explains
exactly.
It gives us that understanding.
Well, what I often tell people is that, you know, you were born with this inner blueprint, perfect and crystal clear and raring to go. And everything would have been fine, except what happens to all of us soon after birth to one degree or another is that we start receiving messages and expectations from family, from peers, from school, teachers, society at large. And the implicit message that we get is you will be loved if you're like that, not this. And we want to be loved, so we try to change. We try to be more like that, and there begins the journey away from original nature. So one of the most powerful things about face reading is that it's helping you come home to yourself, to love and accept and understand yourself for who you really are, and maybe for the first time feel permission to be who you are.
Interesting. I find that really, really fascinating and helpful, I think, for a lot of people. Because we are trying to fit in. We're trying to find our place in this world.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
The world, in many instances, makes it very difficult.
Well, and so there's a lot of us out here, and you're one of them, and you're interviewing a lot of them that are helping create a much more spacious life for us all to have, a much bigger place to stand, much more freedom, much more love and compassion in the world rather than judgments and limitations.
So let's talk a little bit more about the characteristics. All right, we talked a little bit about the eyebrows. Now, I don't know if you can, you have a couple of different shots of a clean-shaven me.
Yeah.
I happen to have, I don't know if you can see the one where you can see more of the top of my head. I have a little crease.
Yeah.
I hit myself in the top of the head with a post driver.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's one of my scars, I guess. I have this scar here. I have this dent here. and my wife was out in the yard when I did this. And I'm surprised I didn't knock myself out. But these kind, we talked a little bit about this before in terms of unintended changes to the physical appearance. But a lot of times we will have changes that we didn't have as we were growing up. Sometimes they'll say, oh, no, he'll grow into his ears or, you know, whatever the case might be. Because as a small kid, as you everything is growing at different rates and different speeds.
Exactly. Yeah.
So now that takes me over to the children's side where you talk about the wisdom of your child's face.
Mm-hmm.
If the child's face is changing and growing to such an extent, how helpful is a reading at age 6 when at age 8 he really, things have really, really changed and transformed?
Mm-hmm. You can actually get information from newborns' faces. So the deal is about children is that, of course, when a baby's born, its face is not fully formed. And it actually takes about 25 years for the face to finish, to complete its growth. Every feature grows in at a different rate, and some features really don't grow in until puberty, when the level of hormones in the body, for instance testosterone, will make the brow bone and the chin grow, things like that. But at every stage of the journey, at age 6 or 8 or 12, the features that are there are who that child is, and so you can understand them at a very deep level. And if you come back later on and something has grown in more, then that's new information, but it didn't apply to who they were when they were 6, when that feature wasn't like that.
Right.
So it's valuable every step along the way. And, you know, what I often find is really meaningful for parents is when I was doing some research for writing that book, I did a lot of research into Western psychology and the latest theories of child development. And what was really fascinating to me was what they've discovered is that the secret to your child's success and happiness in life is not what you might think. It's not how often you say, I love you. It's not how many times you praise them. That literally the single most important predictor to your child's success and happiness in life is how much they feel recognized by you. And that's what face reading does. It allows you to recognize who your child really is, not a mini version of you, which is what parents often hope for or think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that unique inner spirit and why they are the way they are and what they need from you in order to really flourish in life.
So if you are actually able to read an infant's face,
mm-hmm.
and that face is certainly changing and growing, and I asked also about the shape of the head.
Yeah.
And because the skull is still soft, As the mother lays the child down in the bed, in the crib, what have you, and is turning it and so forth so that they don't get a flat spot. You know, if they just laid them on the back of the head's going to be flat. Well, not necessarily, but you know what I'm saying is they're actually shaping the head to some degree, even if it's not consciously. I'm not intentionally trying to do this.
Yeah.
It's just this is the way it came out.
That really doesn't matter. I
mean,
the reason why face reading doesn't care much about the shape of the actual skull is that really when you understand people, the face is where we show our emotions, our feelings, the patterns of emotion we tend to feel, or the emotions we feel as a result of the experiences that we have. That's what changes our face, as well as our inherent temperament and how that's developing in life. And so I don't pay any attention to the shape of the head or whether it's flat or anything like that. The most information is on the place where we show our emotions.
All right. To that, I walk up and down State Street here in Santa Barbara quite often, and I'm people watching, and I'm looking at people's faces, and I see a lot of people with downturned mouths. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking about, what's going on in their lives. All I know is that the majority of people that I see are frowning. They may not have a scowl on their forehead. It's not all wrinkled up, but the corners of the mouth are down.
You're very observant, and it actually is really important. As I said before, every feature has many messages,
mm-hmm.
but some of the messages the mouth gives is how disappointed we are in life so far. As we get disappointed, our mouth turns down. How much negative thinking we're lost in. Mm. The mouth is also where we carry our stress and tension, and so the mouth turning down is often as a result of living a very stressed life. The mouth shows us how well someone has been able to receive what they needed from life. And if they haven't, if they don't feel like they've received what they need, the lips can get thin, wrinkles can develop, or the mouth can turn down. And the mouth can actually be indicative of your original relationship with your mother when you were a child.
Interesting.
So you can read someone's whole emotional life history just in the different features.
Wow. In terms of the eyes, and I'm curious as to whether the color of the eye plays a factor in the reading.
Very little. And one reason may be because, hey, this originated in China 3,000 years ago. Everyone had brown eyes.
Okay.
But also, there's minimal meaning to the eyes, that even the color of the eyes that I found, even in the 30 years that I've been practicing this with people all over the world. In general, and this is a big generality, but people with light-colored, like blue eyes, tend to be a little bit more analytical than people with more brown eyes. But that is a very broad brush that I'm painting with here, mm-hmm. and you pay far more attention to, literally, again, the size and shape of features and the wrinkles that develop.
Okay, and this probably is also under the same category of is not nearly as relevant or has any relevance at all. But I notice when I'm looking at people, especially in pictures, when they're looking straight ahead, one eye is turned in. And usually it's like I'm looking at the picture of the woman on your book cover. And her her left eye is looking straight ahead. Her right eye is turned in just slightly.
Yeah. Well, everyone is asymmetrical. So in other words, everyone has their left side of their face will not be a perfect match to the right side of their face.
Okay.
And that does have meanings. So you may have seen those trick photos where they take two left sides of someone's face and put them together and two right sides, and it looks like two different people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you will notice things like that. As you learn face reading, you'll also see that often one eye is held more tightly, more narrowed than the other eye. The other eye is held more wide open. One side of the mouth goes up and the other doesn't. And this is all information for you to read about who someone is. And how they're functioning in life.
What about I'm going to go ahead and just kind of jump into different features.
Sure.
Bridge of the nose.
Yeah. Well, the bridge of the nose, number one, can show any problems with digestion. If there are faint horizontal wrinkles, for instance, going across the bridge of the nose, that can be that person has an issue with digestion. Or it can be that this is someone who is an incredibly generous, kind, giving person, and they tend to take care of everyone else and sacrifice their own needs. But another way that the Chinese refer to the nose is that they call it the money box. And the bridge of the nose is said to show how much money comes into your life, and the nostrils are said to show how you spend. Now, if you take the word money out of that equation and replace it with the word energy, then you'll have the accurate meaning.
Okay.
That the bridge of the nose shows how much energy is available, how much stamina that person has, how much tenacity, how they can kind of keep on going if they're an Energizer bunny or not.
Mm-hmm.
And if the bridge of the nose is very thin and narrow, it means not so much. They need to be careful to conserve their energy and not waste it.
I have looked in the mirror many, many times, and most of the time I see my father. But mm-hmm. everybody else says, oh, no, you look more like your mother.
Well, we carry the DNA, the genetic history of both sides of the family in our faces. And often, you know, if I'm giving a lecture and someone has dragged, usually it's a very left-brained engineer husband to my lecture, who sits there with his arms folded and then at some point raises his hand and says, this is a bunch of hogwash because I have the nose that I have because my father had that nose. It's just genetics. And my answer to him is, you are absolutely right. You're completely correct. It is. It's genetics. You got that nose because your father had that same nose, but you also inherited the personality characteristics associated with that nose.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've even made the comment to people and in sort of a questioning aspect that when an infant is born, the adults will look at this infant and say, oh, he has Uncle Bill's ears or Aunt Martha's eyes. And they'll go down that long list. And as the child grows, they will then start referring to his personality and his temperament. Oh, he has his Uncle Fred's anger or his Aunt Millie's laugh.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they'll even, when they're now going to school, he has the aptitude, the mathematical aptitude of cousin Fred or blah, you know, and so on and so forth.
Exactly.
But they never make the spiritual connection.
They don't connect the dots, exactly. And this is what connects the dots for us.
Well, and I'm referring to the fact that they never say he has the soul of so and so in the family. And my contention is, and then I sort of raise the question to ponder, why is it that we forget about the spiritual characteristics of our ancestors that we inherit genetically through the DNA, et cetera, or some other energetic means, just like we inherit the physical and mental and emotional characteristics of our ancestors?
Exactly. Well, to answer that question, all you have to do is look around at our society. How much do we talk about the spirit? How much do we value that versus getting ahead, making money, and what someone looks like?
Interesting. Yes. We were out shopping today, and I happened to be very, very cognizant of the fact. It is October the 20th, 2012, and it isn't really all that early. I already started seeing Christmas displays back in early October, so, you know.
Yeah,
and the sales are beginning, and layaway, and all of those things, and that's just what's happening in our society. When you were growing up, then obviously, you know, you were being taught this. This was by your
mother-in-law.
Your mother-in-law. So this
was
before. So share with us a little bit about your growing up in that context, because obviously, there had to have been some undercurrent, some underlying tendency that your mother-in-law saw in you as an adult that you hadn't quite connected with. Was there something?
Well, no, I don't think my mother-in-law saw anything. And actually, my mother-in-law was incredibly tolerant because I do not have what's called a lucky face.
Okay.
there's the face reading that she knew was based on superstitions, and those superstitions are based purely on luck. Good luck means money, bad luck means no money. She did not understand the deeper principles, which I then went on to learn with many teachers over 30 years.
Okay.
So she was very patient with me because she ended up with a daughter-in-law without a lucky face, and I think she was just trying to do the best she could to help me along.
So tell us a little bit about where you were headed before, I don't want to call it a detour because it's not. I mean, it sounds to me like you have found your passion in this.
Yeah, I mean, for me, my work is all about helping everybody find their passion, to wake up in the morning ready to jump out of bed and to love your work and to love your life. And if you're living in alignment with who you really are, that's what happens for you. So I feel like I'm the luckiest person in the world. I've always been fascinated by people and understanding people more, but there was always something missing when it was just very analytical kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very heart-based, compassion-based system of understanding not only yourself, but whoever walks in that door. And, you know, Chinese medicine is based on living in balance. And in medicine, it's living in balance physically. But a lot of people call my work acupuncture for the spirit, because it's not about treating your physical body, but it's using the same concepts to treat your whole life.
Wow. Jean Hayter is my guest, and she has two books. One is The Wisdom of Your Face, and the other is The Wisdom of Your Child's Face, both available through her website, which is wisdomofyourface.com. And just a quick reminder about the conference that's coming up next weekend that you're going to be at, and I'm sure that there are going to be a lot of people, including those left-brained analytical people, sitting there with their... You will see them, I'm sure. You will probably be looking for them as you're standing up there getting started and saying, okay, I'll probably be talking to this person and this person.
Hey, I'm very left-brained and analytical, too.
Well, I think that each one of us shares that aspect, because we all want explanations.
Absolutely.
We want something definitive to hold on to. It's like when I said at the beginning of the program, I talked about how, oh, we're almost through 2012, and I've got a guest that's going to talk about 2032. Ah, just what we need. Another date to look forward to.
Yeah.
But this just seems to me to be very, very extraordinary work that you're doing, obviously to help people to understand who they are and why they are the way that they are. I think that that's a wonderful thing. And to that end, I want to ask you, who is Jean Haner?
Well, I'm a big-nosed white woman from Chicago.
Okay.
Pale skin, red hair. If you know how to read faces now, you understand me entirely. If you don't know how to read faces, I guess you'll just have to come to a workshop.
Absolutely. Next Saturday, next weekend, absolutely. And what is it that you hope to or wish to achieve through the work that you're doing?
Well, my whole goal is really to empower people, men and women, to learn to love themselves, to learn to relax into the beauty of who they really are, that once they discover the meaning of the messages on their faces, that they can then go on to create a life that's in alignment with those inner patterns, that fits who they really are. We so often go through life trying to navigate and blindly. We don't really know who we are or what we're supposed to be doing here.
Mm.
And the power of face reading is that it answers those, really the two most important questions you need to ask yourself in life: who am I and what is my calling?
And I'm going to ask you, if you would, to give me real quickly in the last minute and a half, just a quick synopsis of what you saw or see in those images you have in front of you of me.
All right. Well, there's two main themes here. One I talked about before, which is a man with great humor, brilliant intelligence, lots of fun to be with. We've heard you do this throughout the whole time we've been talking. But the other side we haven't addressed yet is someone who's highly intuitive, very creative, and with a depth of emotion that other people lack, that you would be a natural at being interested in spirituality, philosophy, and the deeper meanings of life. And you have what I call this great inner power. For you, your life purpose is certainly about being a lifelong student and learning everything that you can. But for you, the true goal is developing the inner power that you were born with. It's not about what you have to go out there and get. It is about increasing and deepening what you already arrived with. I would say that you came in with wisdom in your bones.
I hope I go out with wisdom.
Well, you can leave the wisdom here, or you can continue on and help us from the other side.
It's not going to do me any good to keep it to myself. I can tell you that right now. I learned years ago in work that I wanted to teach everybody around me everything that I knew, because if I didn't, if I hung on, because I was afraid that if I didn't, they would take it away from me, and then I'd be out of work, that I wouldn't be able to move on to other things.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. Well, you're an excellent communicator. One thing about your eyes and even the fact that you shaved your head and the dimples in your cheeks talk about the ability to teach, to communicate, to inspire and uplift other people.
I want to thank you so much for sharing your time and your insights and your story with us here on the program today. And I encourage people, whether they get out to the conference next weekend or whether they get a hold of you through your website, which is wisdomofyourface.com, we encourage people to touch base with you, because I think that they would get a lot out of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Richard.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Again, my guest has been Jean Haner, and her book is entitled The Wisdom of Your Face. Until next Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, I'm Richard Dugan. Love, Talal.